You know, as we work our way through the book of Romans, it's been funny kind of along the way when we hit some of those verses, how perfectly timed they seem to be. You know, when we were talking just a few weeks ago about some disappointment that we had in our church, we come to a verse in Romans where Paul's talking about disappointment in his own life, and it just seems as if those things hit right at the right time. Today's not one of those days. Today on Father's Day, we're looking at a woman named Phoebe. But I will tell you this, if you want to make your connection, here it is. Dads, one of the best things that you can do for your children is to love their mom. If you will love her the way Paul writes to the Ephesians, nourishing her, cherishing her, giving your life for her, your children would be better off for it, and you'll be a better dad because of it. All right, that's the connection. Romans chapter 16 is where we are. We've moved into the very last chapter, and yet he's still in the conclusion that we began in the middle of the 15th chapter. We get to this chapter, he begins a series of greetings, and it begins with a woman by the name of Phoebe. Of the 33 people that he mentions in this final chapter, it's interesting to me that the very first one that he mentions is indeed a lady. And I want us to be introduced to her as the church in Rome is introduced to her as well. If you already have your place there in Romans chapter 16, stand together with me as we read together these first two verses. Paul writes and says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so grateful for this final chapter in the book of Romans. I'm thankful for these individuals that we get to meet and how Paul introduces them to us. We get to see real living people making an impact upon the church, making an impact upon their world, making an impact upon Paul the missionary. Father, we ask your blessings today as we study this passage, that you would be our teacher and give us instruction in this passage. Help us to see what it means to be a believer like Phoebe, to have faithfulness that she had, to serve the way that she had. Father, we do indeed take time today to say thank you for our dads. Thank you for those who nourished us, those who led us, those who taught us. Father, we're so grateful that our very first picture of who you are is who we found in our own fathers. And Father, we pray that you would help us who are dads to give that example to our children and to other children around us. Father, we ask your blessings over the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. It is interesting that this chapter begins by mentioning a lady. You know that in those days, ladies were not considered as well as the men were. In fact, most of them were seen more as property than anything else. For a lady to be on her own without a husband, for a lady to be on her own trying to fend for herself in that world was a very difficult thing to do. In fact, they would either turn to something dishonorable or would have to find someone who could take care of them all by themselves. Here is a woman, however, who has niched out a place in life for herself, for her family, and for her friends. What we find in Phoebe is a lady who herself is a businesswoman of her own. We'll get to see that as we go through these verses today. But she's not just a businesswoman who is interested in profit. She is a businesswoman who is interested in using the resources and using the influence and using the position and using the power that she has to make an influence in her world for the cause of Christ. This is a lady who is found on her job, a place where she can be on mission. And you and I are to be on mission at every point where we are, whether we're at school, whether we're at work, whether we're at church, whether we are wherever we are. We are always on mission for Christ. We're to look for those opportunities in the way that Phoebe has, and she has excelled to the point that Paul says, I want you to look to this lady and find in her an example of faithfulness and of stewardship and of missionary enterprise, and that you would follow that as well. I hope that you will follow along as you follow me even in this passage today. I want you to see these three things as we go through this passage. First of all, I would have you to notice that Paul commended Phoebe to the church. He commended her to the church, and that's what we read in that very first verse. I commend to you Phoebe. The word for commend is a word that's a compound word, which means to set together. In other words, to take two different things and to bring those things together and set them together face to face or side by side. What's Paul doing? He's taking this woman by the name of Phoebe, bringing her together with the church of Rome and introducing them one to another. He is setting them together. He is saying to the church of Rome, this is a woman that you should know. This is a woman that I want you to be introduced to. This is a woman who brings with her my approval. This is a woman who brings with her my commendation. I want you to be commended toward her. In doing that, he has to then give her some things that I want you to see. First of all, he gave her a great recommendation. He gave her a great recommendation by her being the first of the 33 in this chapter, by her being the one that Paul says, I commend her to you. As you go through several of these names, you're not going to find him saying, I commend to you this man. I commend to you this other lady. I commend to you this husband and wife. Instead, he takes this one woman and says to her, I commend her to you. He is giving her the highest of recommendations. He is recommending her to service at that church in Rome. It's good, isn't it? It's good to have somebody in your corner. It's good to have somebody who will recommend you to somebody else. Somebody who will take notice and say, you need to know this person. You need to know who they are and you need to know what they do. That's what Paul's doing in this letter. He's introducing her to the church in Rome and introducing the church in Rome to her. First of all, by giving her a great recommendation. Second of all, by giving her a great responsibility. Most scholars believe that she is named first because she is the carrier of this letter. What a responsibility. What a duty to be able to take this letter from the church, to the Church of Rome, take it from Cenchrea, and travel all the way to Rome with it. It is a great responsibility. It's not as if Paul can go to the copy machine and make a new copy. It's not as if he can hit the print button on his computer and just simply print out another one, is it? It's not as if they're going to entrust this to the mail system. Instead, he's going to give this letter to someone that he trusts more than anybody else, someone who's going that way, and say, take this letter. Guard this with your life. This is not just a letter to another church. This is the Word of God and needs to be handled properly, needs to be handled carefully, needs to be handled passionately. This letter is God's Word to the people in Rome. They need to hear it and you need to take it. What an incredible responsibility. Surely along that great distance there's going to be robbers. Surely along that great distance, there are going to be predators. Surely along that great distance, there's going to be danger. Surely along that passageway, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for Phoebe to fail. And yet she does not. She does not. You have plenty of opportunities to fail. You have plenty of opportunities to let down your guard. You have plenty of opportunities to let go of the responsibilities that you have. But I would tell you to do what Phoebe has done and maintain the responsibilities that God has given to you. Maintain the responsibilities that your parents have handed down to you. Maintain the responsibilities that are given to you, whether at work or whether at school, to take on those responsibilities the way that Phoebe has and to do it with great faithfulness and great passion, to be able to say, this is the living Word of God in me, and I'm bringing it now to you. Everywhere that you go, every person that you talk to, Paul says you are like living epistles written upon our hearts. You are to take in your own heart, to take with your own words, to take with your own actions, and to embody the Word of God, to live out His commands, to live out His directives, to be on mission wherever you go. People are to be able to see in your life something about the Word of God. They're to be able to see something in your life that reminds them of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's been given great responsibility, and I want you to know that you have been given great responsibility as well. She delivered her letter. You need to deliver your life. He has commended her to this church for those very reasons. First, he commends Phoebe to the church, and then secondly, he characterizes Phoebe for the church. If he's introducing her, then he's looking at her and say, or telling them, listen, you need to look at her, but look at her through these glasses. Look at her through these characteristics. These are the things I want you to know about Phoebe. Number one is this: she is a sister in Christ. She is a sister in Christ. And that's what he says in verse number one. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. This is not Paul's biological sister. If it was, he would say, I commend to you Phoebe, my sister. He's not just simply writing this to another person and saying, I commend to you Phoebe, your sister. He's not talking about a biological family member. He's talking about those who are a part of the family of God. Remember, he's not writing to an individual. He's writing to a church. And as he writes to that church, he says, this woman is our sister. She's our sister. What do we have in common? We have in common the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in common the same Father. That's what makes us brothers. That's what makes us sisters. That's what draws us together as the family of God. And he says to her, this is a woman. When she comes to you, her testimony is valid. I don't know much about Phoebe. I don't know how she came to know the Lord. I don't know how she came to Christ. I don't know her story. I don't know her backstory. What I do know is this, that as Paul recommends her to the church, as Paul entrusts her with this great letter and sends her there, he says, I want you to know that I have known Phoebe. I have seen Phoebe. I have seen in her life the character qualities of Christ, and you can know and be assured that this is a woman who knows the Lord Jesus. Should somebody be able to say that about you? Absolutely. They ought to be able to see your life either telescopically or microscopically and be able to see in your life something that reminds them of Jesus, something that's able to say, I know that I know. Looking at the fruit that that man, the fruit that that woman produces, that is a believer in Christ. Phoebe must have some kind of fruit. She doesn't live in the same town where Paul is. They're about 9 miles apart as Paul writes this letter. As he writes this letter, he's not in the same town. He's not in the same church. But he knows enough about Phoebe to be able to say to them, I've seen enough to be able to know that this person is a believer in the Lord Jesus. You need to know that. Number one, it's important for you to know, isn't it? It's important for you to know. You need to know that you belong to Christ. You got to know. How do you go through the day? How do you know what to pray about? How do you know who to pray to? If you don't really know that you belong to the Lord, how can you step into those points of danger if you don't really know the Lord? If you're not sure that you're sure, how can you face sickness? How can you face difficult times? You need the Lord Jesus, and you need to know that you belong to Him. You need to know that He is yours and that you are His. You need to know that you belong to Him. Secondly, other people need to know. Other people need to know. How will they know? How will somebody like Paul know that somebody like Phoebe belongs to the Lord? Two ways. Number one, you tell them. You just tell them. You know, as you read through the book of Acts, it's interesting. When you get to Acts chapter number 9, you discover Paul's testimony. You find his story about him heading on his way to Damascus and meeting the Lord Jesus on the road and Christ saving him and how miraculous and wonderful that was. But you don't just read that story in Acts chapter number 9. You'll read it two more times in the book of Acts. Why? Because Paul is going to people and he's saying, let me tell you how I became a Christian. Let me tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus. I bet you if we were to take a survey of folks that are in here, that have been here for, you don't even have to probably be here a year. You already know I was saved when I was 17. You know I was saved sitting on a log in the North Georgia mountains. You know that I was saved reading from James chapter number 1 and verse number 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only deceiving yourselves. You know because I have told you. You know because I have expressed to you my testimony again and again and again. Dads, let me ask you this. Do your children know that you belong to the Lord? Do they know your story? You say, I don't want my children to know my story. I don't want them to know the things I've done. The reality is that your children probably know far more about you than you realize. They need to know that in the midst of all that other stuff that they know about, there's a graceful God who is taking great care of you. They need to know your story. Other people need to know your story. So how are they to know? Number one, you can tell them. Number two, they can see it. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. While we're out there in Arizona, what few trees they have, they're just different. They're different. Now, they said that thing was a pine tree, but it didn't look like a pine tree I'd ever seen before. They got all kind of crazy things out there. And you know, and I'm just not smart enough to be able to look and to say, look at a leaf and say, you know, hey, that's whatever kind of tree. Or to look at the bark and say, hey, that's such and such kind of tree. But at our hotel that we stayed at, they had a bunch of trees that are out there in that center area. I couldn't tell by the bark. I couldn't tell by the leaves. But those great big orange things sitting up there in the middle of those trees, even I could tell that's an orange tree. A tree is known by its fruit, and your life is known by its fruit. You can tell an awful lot about a person by the way they talk. You can tell an awful lot about a person about the way they hold themselves. You can tell an awful lot about a person about the places that they go and the things that they watch. You can tell an awful lot about a person about the way that they react to situations. You can tell a lot about a person by the fruit that is in their life. And this is the truth. This is the truth. Fruit on the outside is always determined by what's on the inside. Whatever's on the inside is always going to show up on the outside. That's why Jesus said, if we want to talk about our language, Jesus said that those words, the words out of a man's mouth come from his heart. It's not a problem of vocabulary. It's a heart issue. If I have a problem with my heart, or if I have a problem with my language, if I have a problem with my activities, if I have a problem with where I go, if I have a problem with my emotions, if I have a problem with those things are in my heart. This lady is a sister in Christ. She belongs to Him. And you need to know that you know that you belong to Him and exude the right kind of testimony the way that she would. Secondly, if you look there at the end of verse number 1, we discover that not only is she a sister in Christ, but she was a servant for Christ. She was a servant for Christ. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Cenchrea is about 9 miles from Corinth, which is where Paul is writing from. It is their port city. It's the place where they would get all of their goods from. It's where business people would want to live. It's where they would want to travel to. It's probably the reason why she is there. But while she's there, she is much more than just a businesswoman. She's much more than just a 9-to-5 worker. She is a servant for the church in Cenchrea. Now, many people will take a notice that the word diakonos is the word that's used for servant in verse number 1. And so some have taken that and said, see, it's okay to have lady deacons. It says that she was a deacon. One of the things that you need to know is that as the Bible goes through a time of progression, it's not until you get to 1 Timothy where where Paul begins to write and say, this is what a deacon ought to be. This is what a pastor ought to be. It's then that they begin to develop what their offices are. This is not necessarily an office. And we have those today, don't we? In just a few weeks, we're going to elect deacons to come up. But listen, a deacon is not a person who is a gatekeeper for the church. He's not a member of the board of trustees for the church. What is he? That word deacon, diakonos, simply means servant. Those men that are elected here in just a few weeks are servants. That's what they're called to do. If a person decides that they want to be a deacon at Britt David Baptist Church and they want to lord it over the rest of the church, then they need to go find somewhere else to be a deacon, because here they're servants. It's our deacons who get up early and come and unlock the buildings. They don't unlock themselves. They're the ones who turn on the lights. They're the ones who count the money. They're the ones who visit in the hospitals. They're the ones who make connections with new members. They're the ones who go out and evangelize. They're the ones who do acts of benevolence. They're the ones who are serving our church. Now, I say all of that to say this. Do you have to be elected as a deacon to come open the doors? No. We'll let anybody do that. Do you have to be a deacon to go visit somebody in the hospital? No. Do you have to be a deacon to do acts of benevolence? No. All of those things are activities that the church itself is called to do. These are men that we have selected that fit the biblical qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we've said, we have set you apart to this office. But in reality, every person in this room who's a member of this church is a deacon, is a minister, is a diakonos, is a servant of this church. Phoebe doesn't have to have an office. Phoebe's got a job. And her job is to serve that church, and she serves it with great joy. By the way, the name Phoebe means bright and joyful. She's not going around saying, oh, I can't believe that nominating committee came to me and they've asked me to do this other job again. I can't believe they elected me to do this job one more time. She serves with a servant's heart. She has served the church. Paul even says at the end, she has served me and many of you. She's a servant. What do you do for the cause of Christ? What are you doing? Surely there's more to membership than a Sunday morning worship service. Surely there's more to membership than being a spectator. Surely there's more to membership than having someone else serve me. My responsibility is to find that area in which I can serve that God has equipped me, and to do it with all of my heart. And that's what Phoebe's doing, and that's what I commend to you today. She is a sister in Christ. She is a servant for Christ. She is a supporter of Christ and of the cause of Christ. Look down to the very end of verse number 2. The very last phrase says this: for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. The word helper that you have here is not the same word for helper that you find in the book of John when he refers to the Holy Spirit as the one who walks alongside of us. This word for helper is a word which means benefactor. It means patron. In other words, she has taken of her financial resources and she has helped Paul. She has helped some others. She has helped the church in Cenchrea. She has used the resources that God has given to her and made those things count for the kingdom of God. Listen, today, the offering plate came by. And if you're our guest today, I do not expect you to put one thing in there. Well, unless you want to put that little registration form. We like those. We like to use those. We like to pray for those. We like to come see and tell you that we're glad that you're here. But I do not expect you to put an envelope in there. If you're a member, don't you want your money to count for more than bills? Don't you want your money to count for more than this month? Make it count for eternity. Put it into something that can be used for the cause of Christ, that will bring men and women and boys and girls to faith in Jesus, that will allow them to live with Him for all of eternity. My support ought to be for the cause of Christ. I ought to look for those opportunities to do that. And then to be able to do, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, and give those things with great joy. God loves the cheerful giver, doesn't He? And I want to be able to give that way. She does. She is a supporter of Him. So when Paul introduces her to the church, he's saying, listen, let me characterize her for you. She's a sister. She's a servant. She's a supporter. You need to know her. You need to get to know her. We need to get to know the folks that are in our church too, by the way. So as Paul begins talking about her and saying, you know, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. She's a servant. She's a helper. He also has some words for the church. Because not just introducing her and saying, okay, now, go do your thing. Remember that word commend means to set together. It means to bring those two things together. In this case, he's bringing Phoebe and the church in Rome and bringing them together for the first time. So now he's had some words to say about Phoebe. Now he has some words to say specifically to the church. So Paul commissions the church toward Phoebe. He gives them directions. He gives them instructions and says, this is how you are to treat her. This is what you are to do. Now that you know her, this is what you should do for her. Look, if you will, in verse number 2, there are two things that are here. The first one's in the very first phrase, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. They were to accept her. They were to accept her. That's what he's saying. You need to accept her. You need to receive her. It's reminiscent of what Paul writes to Philemon as he sends back Onesimus to him. And he says, I want you to receive him in the same way that you would receive me. That's what he's saying about Phoebe. I want you to receive her. I want you to accept her in the same way that you would accept me. Paul's saying, I'm a believer in Christ. I'm a servant of the church. I'm a supporter of the church. If I were to come to you and if I were to bring you this letter, you would receive me. So receive her. We say it often that the ground is level at Calvary. They're not second-class citizens when it comes to the citizenship in heaven. When it comes to the body of Christ, there's not one part that's more important than the other part. Every person is important. Every person's on equal footing. That's why Paul's able to say, receive her as you would receive me. Receive her as you would receive any of the other saints, any of the other believers. Receive her that very same way because she is one of us. We're to do that, aren't we? We're to receive and accept others. If they know Christ because they are of who we are. I'll tell you something. Arizona's beautiful, but it's different. You know, number one, they don't have sweet tea, and that's a problem. Somebody need to go educate them folks. But they just, it's just a different place. I think we were amazed at how many different languages that we heard there. Everywhere we went, it was almost as if English was the second language. We heard so many different. Of course, we heard Spanish, a lot of German. There were so many different. There were several Asian groups, whether they were Chinese or Japanese or Korean. Lots of those groups. Everybody was there. Does that matter in the cause of Christ? No. I'm to accept them in the same way that I would expect somebody to accept me. I'm to receive them. The same way that I would be received. Paul is writing to this church and saying, when she comes and she brings you this letter, you accept her. You accept her. You allow her to be a part of your church. You know, one of the things that we don't do in church that we used to do when I was little, I remember when somebody joined the church, that the pastor would stand there and then he would say, "Can I have a recommendation from the church that we receive this person into membership?" And somebody would say, "Aye." "Is there a second to that?" "Aye." "Everybody vote." "Aye." "It's Tim up there." "No." You know, they got really awkward, you know. We don't do that anymore. Why? Because we're simply to accept them based on the testimony that they give that they belong to Christ. We're to accept them. Is there somebody, though, that might come in among us with ulterior motives? Sure. Is there somebody who might come in among us and they don't believe like us? Sure. Is that my responsibility initially? No. They're to accept them based on the testimony that they have in Christ. Number one, they are to accept her. Number two, they are to assist her. Look at the end of verse number two, or the middle of verse number two, actually. "That you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you." For whatever she needs, you're to assist her. You're to help her. When a new person comes into our church family, our job is to help them in whatever help they need. This word for business, the word that he uses for business, is the word that we get pragmatic from. In other words, for whatever practical reason, for whatever practical purpose that they have need of, you are to help them. Don't just do like James said. Don't just say, "God bless you," and send them on their way. Help them. When we first came to Britt David, people got their trailers and they headed up to Griffin. And they helped load those trailers and moved us all the way back here. They gave us practical help. When folks around here move from one place to another, we gather trucks together and we've helped people move. Whatever help that somebody needs, we are to assist them. People are not here for just simply our benefit. We are here. We exist for the glory of God and to help others come to know Him. That's it. That's why we're here, for the glory of God and to help other people know Him. And if we can do that through practical means, that's exactly what we need to do. If it takes a practical mean in order to gain a hearing, then that's what we need to do. Say, "But I'm just tired." Well, there's tired, and then there's a good tired. When you help other people, that's a good tired. And it's okay, like Paul said, to spend and be spent for the people of God. Phoebe is an example of what a faithful church member ought to be. A person that you can give responsibility to and trust. A person who will serve. A person who does know the Lord Jesus. A person who will make a difference in their world and all the other people that are around them. Is that the kind of church member you are? Yep. It's the kind of church member you ought to be? Yep. Kind of church member you want to be? Absolutely. Let's pray.